known, and the boldness and the courage by which he demonstrated as he stood before that wicked king, King Ahab. As we continue to trace the life of Elijah, we are told in our text of Scripture here in verse number 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying..." And so once again, we are told of how God is speaking to His servant and God is providing direction. Remember that it was God that told Elijah to go to speak to Ahab, and Elijah went. We understood that after he had departed from Ahab's presence, that it was the word of the Lord that came unto him saying, "Go down and get thee by the brook Cherith." And we found that it was immediately met with obedience on the part of Elijah. And he went and did exactly what God told him to do. Last week we examined verse number 7. We dealt with the subject matter of the brook dried up. There are times in our lives where the brook will dry up, and for Elijah the brook dried up, but God was already aware of what was going to happen. When he led Elijah, when he directed Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, God knew all about what was going to happen, and God has a plan and a purpose, and we dealt with some things last week, but the very last point that I made note of in our lesson from last Wednesday evening was that when the brook dries up, one thing that we need to do is we need to rely upon the Lord for direction. We need to rely upon Him for direction. See, when the brook dries up, sometimes we get a little antsy, if you will, and we want to just start going and doing and making decisions and going and trying to figure something out. But it's important that we would rely upon the Lord for direction from Him for our lives. Exactly what happens as the brook dries up, the Bible tells us in verse number 8 that the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying... Notice what the Bible tells us in verse number 9, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And we're going to go down through verse number 16 this evening, but as we enter into the study tonight, we're reminded how that back in verse number 4 of our text of Scripture, that it was there that God said, "It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook," notice, "and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." What happened when Elijah was at the brook Cherith? Well, the Bible tells us that he drank of the brook, but it also tells us that he had flesh and meat each morning and each evening because those ravens brought it to him as the Lord said they would. This evening we find that Elijah receives this instruction. As you're going to take notes tonight, very simply, the first thought from the passage of Scripture is this: we notice the plan of God. We notice the plan of God. Here's the thing that's amazing to me: God always has a plan. Amen? He always has a plan, and God's plan is always good. It's always best. God's plan, by the way, always fulfills God's purpose. And there are times in which we could come up and we could devise our own plans, but how important it is that we learn from even studying the life of Elijah that we would understand that God has a plan and it is always best that we would follow His plan for our lives. We notice as we look at the plan of God as it's revealed to us in verses 8 and 9, we first find that God reveals His plan to Elijah. I'm thankful that God reveals His plan. I'm thankful that he has a plan, but he reveals his plan. What if he had a plan, but he didn't tell us? It'd be kind of problematic, would it not? But he has a plan, and he reveals his plan. He makes his plan known to Elijah. By the way, because Elijah had been faithful to respond to the light that had already been given, God continues to give him light. See, if Elijah had not gone to Ahab, if Elijah had not gone to the brook Cherith, we would not expect that God would continue to give Elijah this direction. But we find that because Elijah received the plan and had walked in obedience, that God continues to provide him with direction for his life. How important it is for us to respond to the light that's been given, that we would respond to that which God has revealed to us, even as we find in the life of Elijah. But I want you to notice that God's plan not only is revealed to Elijah, but God's plan is very specific. Just as it was when he went to the brook Cherith, he told him the exact place to go. He didn't say, Elijah, go find a place where there's water and be sustained there. No, he told him exactly where to go. He told him exactly the place where those ravens would sustain him. Now, Elijah had to go to that specific place because if he had gone any other place, those ravens would not have gone to where he was. He had to go to the appointed place. And here, the plan of God is just as specific. You notice in verse number 9, he says, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. He says, dwell there. Notice this. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Not a rich woman, not a wealthy woman, not a well-to, but a widow woman. And he said, remember, I commanded the ravens to sustain thee, right? Now, we mentioned that the ravens by nature, they were not by nature going to come to this place where they would bring food. They're scavengers by nature. And yet God, because he is the creator God, he commanded the ravens and they did what God said. And so now he says to Elijah, he says, hey, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I want you to understand something about Zarephath. Zarephath is an interesting place for two reasons. Number one, it was the hometown of Jezebel. Now we know a little bit about Jezebel, right? Remember, Ahab was married to Jezebel. Ahab was a wicked king. And then he married Jezebel. And it just got worse. Jezebel introduced Baal worship with Ahab. Remember, it was there with Ahab where he was following, as it tells us there in chapter number 16 of 1 Kings, he was following after the sins of Jeroboam, but after he took Jezebel to be the daughter, to be his wife, that they went and served Baal and worshiped him. So not only is this place where he's going the hometown of Jezebel, but it's the heart of Baal worship. Now think about that just for a moment. God is sending Elijah directly into a place where they need light, where God is going to reveal himself to this widow woman and also to others that would hear the testimony. By the way, Jesus mentions this passage of Scripture in the New Testament. Amen? He says there were many widows, but he only sent them to the house of this one. Listen, the religious leaders didn't like that at all. But they needed light because they were in darkness. And God says, now Israel was in darkness as well, remember, because they're serving idols and all the idolatry and all the things that are taking place. But God's plan is to send his man, Elijah, directly into this place. It's very specific. And we find that as we notice the plan of God, that it's followed up with the promise of God. Now, we understand as we look at the text of Scripture, the plan of God, but the plan of God contains within it a promise. In verse number 10, just as we found in our last couple of lessons, that Elijah immediately responds with complete obedience to that which God had said. In verse number 10, it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. There is immediate and complete obedience to the plan of God that has been revealed. And how important it is that we would have that same heart attitude of obedience. When God shows us in his word, now we have the complete canon of Scripture, amen? We have the word of God. It is a light unto our path and it's a lamp unto our feet. And God provides us with direction and instruction. And as we would take that response, that we would immediately and completely obey what God reveals to us in his word. Here the verbal word of God comes to Elijah because the Bible's not been completed at this particular time in history. And God speaks to Elijah and Elijah responds with immediate and complete obedience. It says, when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he, Elijah, called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now I want you in these next few verses, we just read verse number 10, but we'll read down through verse number 14, and I want you to put yourself there. I want you to pretend this evening in your sanctified imagination that you're walking there with Elijah and you enter into the gate of the city. And in your mind's eye, I want you to understand, notice this conversation, notice how it goes. And it's an amazing passage of Scripture as we see the directness of Elijah, the confidence, the faith of this man. But we find that he comes in and the widow woman is there and she's gathering, the Bible tells us, some sticks. And we find that she'll share with us in just a moment the purpose of her gathering these sticks. But Elijah calls to this widow woman and he says this. He says, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." We find that if you look at verse number 11, it says, "And she was going to fetch it." And as she was going to fetch it, notice that immediately she just goes to get the water that he'd requested. Right? Now, put yourself there. Pretend for a moment that you're Elijah. Now pretend that you're the widow woman. Now, you know what you're doing. You're fetching some sticks. You've never seen this guy before. He comes walking into town. He says, "Hey, excuse me, would you go get me some water?" Right? And we find that it says, as she was going to fetch it, he called to her. Notice. And here's what he says. "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." You know, not only am I thirsty, but I'm a little bit hungry. So when you're going to give me that water, can you bring me something to eat as well? Now again, put yourself in the situation. But he's following the plan of God. Amen? He's following the plan of God. And this widow woman, she responds. Notice, as she hears the request for water, she goes to get some water. But then, as she's leaving, as she's on her way, he calls her and says, "By the way, bring me something to eat." She says, verse 12, "As the Lord thy God liveth." Evidently, she knew that Elijah served a different God than she served. "As the Lord thy God liveth." Every word of God is important. Somehow, some way, she knew that Elijah was different. I wonder, just a side note, I wonder how many people know that we're different. I wonder how many people know that our God is different than their God. Amen? How many people know that our God is different than their God? He comes into the city. And she says, "As thy God liveth," notice, "I have not a cake, but here's what I have. I have an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son." Notice this, "that we may eat it and die." Now again, put yourself in the situation. She responds here in verse number 12 by sharing with Elijah the dire circumstances that her and her son were facing. This was not a situation where they had plenty. Remember, there was famine in the land because of the drought. There's some difficulties that they're dealing with, and God is showing Himself mighty. Remember, this is judgment, the judgment hand of God. This drought that was announced in verse number 1 of chapter 17, it was because of the wickedness of the nation of Israel and their idolatry. And we find over here in Zarephath, they were adversely affected as well. And this widow woman, she comes to this place and she says, "Let me explain to you what my circumstances are. You've asked me for water, now you ask me for something to eat. I don't have anything. The reason that I was gathering these two sticks, I don't have a cake, I just have a little meal. I just have a little flour, and my purpose is to take these sticks and to make a fire and to have a little something to eat, and then my son and I, we're going to die. That's all we have." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? She's being very transparent with the prophet of God, with Elijah. And we find that certainly at this particular time, as he would hear these things, you could ask yourselves, how would you respond? Now, we have the Bible. We know how he responds. In fact, we know verse 15 and 16. Most of you already know what's going to happen. But I want you to moment by moment go through it and see the way that God is proving Himself. We said there's a plan of God, but there's a promise from God that is given to us as well. Notice in verse 13, Elijah said unto her. Now Elijah heard what she said. And he says back to her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake. Notice this word. First. And bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. Now she already said, I only have enough for a little. She already said that I'm gathering these two sticks in verse number 12 that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. She said that they don't have a cake. They only have a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in the cruse. And here he says, but make me thereof a little cake first. And after that, after you make it and bring it to me, then make for thee and for thy son. But notice the continuation in verse number 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Here's the promise. Here's the promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. This isn't what I'm saying as Elijah. This is what the Lord God Jehovah is saying. He said this, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, this is an important point of the entire account, because now she has a decision to make. Right? What would you do? Honestly, you're a widow. You have nothing. You have a son. You have a little bit. Your plan is to make just a little and to eat your last meal. You're going to die. And here comes marching into town this man, Elijah. Give me some water. By the way, as you're going to get water, can you bring me something to eat as well? And he, Elijah, communicates to her a promise that God made. He says, fear not, in verse number 13. He tells her the plan. He tells her what to do. And then says, he attaches this promise from God. He says, the barrel of meal shall not waste. He says this, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. And then he tells them for how long. He says, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. God's going to send rain again. We'll read it in a couple chapters and see what happens in several lessons from now. But you notice that he, Elijah, communicates to this widow woman at Zarephath this promise from God. Now, Elijah had to exercise, remember we said this 2 weeks ago, when Elijah went to the brook of Cherith, his obedience was evidence of his faith. Your obedience and my obedience is evidence of our faith, that we believe that God is going to do what God said he was going to do, because faith is taking God at his word. If I say I have faith, I believe that God will do it, but I never move. Well, there's no evidence that I really believe what I'm saying I believe, but when I step out and I obey what God says, that is evidence of my faith. And here, not only did Elijah have to exercise faith and go to Zarephath, but now this widow woman had to exercise faith in what Elijah said that God would do. We find that Elijah, he says, this is what God said. He says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, I want you to just for a moment consider the plan of God, the promise of God. God has given to Elijah here a plan, and he's attached to it a promise. And now we're going to see the power of God. The power of God. See, when is the power of God unleashed? When we obey, right? And think about it. God's given us plans in His Word. He's given us direction. He's given us commandments. He's given us direction that we're supposed to go in. And we are able to see what He is able to do as we go in obedience and we follow His plan and we claim His promises. As we sing, Standing on the Promises, right? We say in that song that they're not going to fail. Right? Isn't that what one of the lines of the song says? They cannot fail. Why? Because God made them. Paul says, as he's writing to Titus, he says, God that cannot lie. Aren't you thankful that God can't lie? And here, Elijah is in this city, and he's introducing the Lord God Jehovah to this widow woman, and he says, here's what Jehovah God has said. And we see the power of God unleashed. In verse 15, notice the obedience of this lady, this widow woman. The obedience is just amazing. It says this, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Key. See, sometimes we think, okay, we know that God said that in His Word, but we're going to do it this way, and then we do it this way, and we wonder why the results didn't happen. Right? If she had done it a different way, she can't expect that her meal's not going to waste and the oil's going to keep, it's not going to fail, right? If she had gone in a different order, she says, I know that's what he said, but I'm going to eat first. I'm going to give to my son first. Then with what's left, we'll give to Elijah. No, that's not what God said. That's not what God said. See, God has given us instruction in His Word, and it's intended that we would obey it exactly as it's been given. Not that we'd rely on our own understanding, not that we say, well, I understand what he said, but I'm going to try it this way, and then I'm going to expect the same results. No, it doesn't work that way. That's not how God has designed it. We find that the Bible says, notice the end of verse number 15, and she and he, that's Elijah, and her house, notice this next few words, did eat many days. What was her expectation? Elijah, I only got this little bit, and we're going to make it, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. Right? He said, here's the plan. Here's what God said. And he tells her what to do, and he attaches the promise. He says, God will do this. This is what he said he will do. That meal, it's not going to waste, and that oil, it's not going to fail until the day that God sends rain. By the way, it doesn't matter what day it is that God's going to send rain. It doesn't matter how far they're into the 3.5 years when there's no rain. It doesn't matter if they're a year in or 3 years and 4 months in. It doesn't matter, because God made a promise that that meal and that oil would not waste nor fail until the day that he sent rain. And God is, listen, his promises are sure. Amen? And we find here that the Bible tells us in verse number 16, notice this, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. But I want you to notice these next words, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. We see the power of God. We can rejoice that the barrel of meal wasted not. We can rejoice that the cruse of oil failed not. But we must understand that it's all because of the fact that God made the promise. It says here, according to the word of the Lord. God's given us some promises. We don't have time this evening to go through a whole list of them and to deal with all of the application, but I tell you this evening that every promise that he's given to us, that he will do what he said he will do, we can trust him. It's not going to fail. It's not going to waste. And we find here that the Bible says, according to the word of the Lord, but I want you to notice the last phrase, which he spake by Elijah. God uses people. God uses people. Now, this evening, do we believe that God saves sinners? Amen. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? We know the verse. We often can quote it. But if you go in that passage of Scripture a few verses down, how shall they hear? Without a preacher. Right? Do we believe that God will save sinners? Absolutely. He's able, Hebrews 7:25, to save them to the uttermost. He's able. I mean, his hand is not short. His arm is not short that it cannot save. We find that our God is able. His atonement, his blood atonement is sufficient. He paid it all. As the Lord said, but he spoke it by his prophet Elijah, by his man Elijah. this evening, there's a whole lot of people that don't know the promises of God. This widow at Zarephath, she was going to die. She had no hope. Can I tell you that God did for her what her God, Baal, could not do for her? Right? We're going to read in just a little bit at Mount Carmel, you're going to read about the Baal worshipers, and you're going to read all that they did and the way that they cut themselves and tried to appease him and all of these things. Listen, I believe that this widow woman here in that center of Baal worship, no doubt she had, I don't know all that she did. The Bible doesn't tell us, but no wonder that as Elijah comes in here and Elijah tells her, here's what the Lord God Jehovah said he would do, and then God does it. Can you imagine the impact that that would have not only on her, but on those around her? Our false God couldn't do that. I was going to eat it and die. I think that, and we'll look at the next section of chapter 17, the continuation of the relationship between Elijah and this widow woman. I want you to understand this evening that her life changed because Elijah obeyed God. Amen? Elijah was sustained because he believed God, right? So because of Elijah's faith and Elijah's obedience, he is sustained, he receives blessing, but this woman also, in her house and others around, they are blessed. Life is changed. Think about the little boy just for a moment. I don't know how much he knew. The Bible doesn't tell us. But can I tell you that kids are pretty perceptive? Those of you that have children, you know kids are pretty perceptive. Children know more than we think they do. Yeah? They know more than we think they do. And I wonder about that little boy. He probably had some awareness that there wasn't much food left. Again, he probably saw the countenance of his mom. Right? Kids are perceptive. Can you imagine when Elijah came back to that house and that meal wasted not and that oil failed not? Think about the impact on that little boy because of obedience. See, when God calls us and gives us a plan in His Word, it's to fulfill His purpose. His purpose is always to bring glory to Himself. Always. And in this passage of Scripture, you know what happens? God is glorified. Because God did what Baal couldn't do. God revealed Himself to this widow at Zarephath. God proved once again to Elijah who he was and what he was capable of doing. And we find that God is glorified. In our lives, God desires to be glorified. You know, in the book of John, Jesus said this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." It brings glory to God when we bear fruit. And how do we bear fruit? Well, we go out and we sow seed. We preach the gospel. And as we're going out preaching the gospel, we're believing what God said. We can go to somebody with full confidence and say that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in His heart, in your heart, if you place your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ at Calvary, He will save you. Amen. We have the Word of God. There's a whole lot of people that don't know that message. There's a whole lot of people that never heard it before. And we go to them not saying, listen to what I'm saying, listen to what my church is saying, listen to what our pastor is saying, but listen to what God said in His Word, and if you trust it, if you follow it. Well, you know, I think that sounds really good, but I'm just going to try to be a good person. And I hope that if I'm a good person, I'll get to heaven. If she gave the food first to her and her son, it's not going to keep. You got to follow the plan of God, right? Think about over there in Exodus chapter number 40, when they did all that they did and they reared up the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord filled that place. Why? You read over and over and over in Exodus chapter number 40 that they did as the Lord commanded. Then, after they do everything the way that God said, then His glory fills that place. And that's just the way it works. That's just who our God is. And so this evening, as we look at a familiar passage of Scripture in the life of Elijah at Zarephath, consider the power of God on display. He revealed a plan to a servant. And in giving that plan, He attached a promise. And as that promise was claimed by faith, revealed, evidenced by the obedience, not only of Elijah, but of that widow woman, we find that the power of God is evidenced. It's good to see what God is able to do. And this evening, it all boils down to what we talk about so often, just following what God says. Just obedience. And letting God be God. God can do some amazing things. He wants to prove Himself. He wants to be glorified. And He will use us. Notice the last part, which He spake by Elijah. Elijah went into that place, and God showed Himself powerful, and it had a great impact. Let's pray together. Father, we love You this evening. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the opportunity to once again study the life of Elijah. As we look at this familiar passage, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be encouraged tonight. Help us, Lord, to be challenged this evening. God, that we'd understand the importance of obedience once again as it's revealed in Your Word, that we would seek that in our lives You, Lord, would be glorified. I pray that You'd bless our time of prayer. We thank You for the opportunity to pray together as a church family. We pray that You'd be glorified through all that's said and done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin this evening? You did not.